talking about something called the cocktail party effect, which isn't about cocktails, as relevant as that would be for Eastertide, when we celebrate the resurrection, and at times maybe with cocktails and champagne, which our family has done for breakfast sometimes on Easter morning, what we call resurrection breakfast, and we have busted out the champagne and raised glasses to the risen Jesus. Because he's risen from the dead. We need to do that kind of thing. We need to celebrate. Well, this isn't about champagne and cocktails, as relevant as that would be, because the cocktail party effect is not about cocktails, it's about our brains. Our brain's amazing ability to tune out all the surrounding noise and voices, and this ability then to focus in on this one particular voice that's going on. So it happens when you're at a party, say a party with a purpose, say a resurrection feast, where there just might be some cocktails. And there's a ton of people, and they're chatting, and there's kids running around, and there's all kinds of noise, and you're in the middle of all this, and you're in maybe a smaller circle of people, and someone's talking, and somehow you're able to tune out all that noise and all those voices and focus in on this one voice. What's going on? Our brains can do this. It's amazing. Praise God. And praise God, our brains were made and redeemed most of all to hear that one divine voice of the Good Shepherd. So this is Good Shepherd Sunday, a Sunday to focus on the person of the Good Shepherd, and entailed within that would be a focus in on his voice, which is what we're going to do this morning. Brendan Case, in his commentary I've mentioned before, points out that you could translate Good Shepherd also as the beautiful, the noble shepherd. The good, beautiful, noble shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and who takes it back up again. And praise God, he has. Hallelujah, the Good Shepherd has risen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The beautiful, noble, resurrected shepherd, who according to our gospel reading, calls his own sheep by name. There's that intimacy. And he leads them out, says. He goes ahead of them. And in the bigger story, we know he goes out ahead of them in life and in death. And in resurrection. So the sheep follow him wherever he goes, it says, in life and in death and in resurrection, because they hear and they follow his voice. They know his voice. They're not going to follow a stranger, it says. They run from strangers, in fact, because they don't know their voices. They run away. So this is the sheep version of the cocktail party effect. Sheep don't just tune out those voices. They run from those voices because they only know that one voice and they only follow that one voice of the shepherd, their shepherd. Have you ever thought, have you ever wondered, what does the voice of our Good Shepherd sound like? I've never heard his voice audibly. I know there have been some who have. But the voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, the beautiful, noble shepherd, how does that sound? How do we recognize his voice? How do we hear that and keep hearing that in our lives? There aren't a lot of descriptions of how the voice of Jesus sounds in the New Testament. I've only found a few. But they're significant. One description comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where it says the crowds were astounded at his teaching. Why? Because he taught them as one who had authority. So they could hear, they could feel that authority, and what he said in his voice, and it astounded them. It was so overwhelming. Another related description comes at the beginning of the book of Revelation, in that powerful passage of Jesus, the description of Jesus. And it says, it describes his voice as what? As the sound of many rushing waters. Think Niagara Falls, if you've ever been there. Imagine a deep, immense, overwhelming roar. Think a sound that envelops you, surrounds you. You don't just hear it, you feel it. Immense power, majestic authority. Right? It's a sound that drowns out all other sounds and voices, and it commands your attention. That's the voice of Jesus when you hear it. I think I've mentioned this before. First time I encountered this voice of Jesus was when I read the Gospels around the age of 19. I read those words of Jesus in there, and I felt what those people felt at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, a voice with authority. Soul penetrating, knowing your name kind of authority. Powerful. More authority than I had ever encountered up to that point and ever since. No voice compares to the voice of Jesus when you hear it. And I had heard the words of Jesus before. I grew up in the church. I had heard those words many times on a Sunday morning. But I didn't have ears to hear his voice. That authoritative roar of his voice. I was deaf to it. But then the Holy Spirit opened my ears, not my physical ears, but the ears of my heart. And we need that. The Holy Spirit of God needs to open our ears to hear his voice. We need the Spirit of God to hear the voice of the Word of God. And we need the Word of God to hear that voice. The Word, the voice, the Spirit of God, they all go together. And don't let anyone tell you any different. If someone says, the Spirit of God is leading me to do this, and it contradicts the scriptures that the Holy Spirit inspired, it's probably another spirit. Maybe it's their spirit, maybe it's some other spirit, but it's not the spirit of the scriptures, the spirit that permeated the life of Jesus. There's a long tradition of understanding the many rushing waters of the voice of Jesus as representing the many biblical writers of the Word of God that act like these tributaries coming into the one voice and word of Jesus, the one who is in fact called the Word of God in the flesh. And of course, this is in line with what Jesus said. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it's they that are in fact bearing witness to, testifying to, leading to me. So I resonate with that understanding. And the more I've read the scriptures with the help of the Spirit and with the help of the people of God, the more I've been able to hear that one voice of the Good Shepherd. And all other voices have faded into the background. That's the Christian cocktail party effect. I've referenced the following formative story for me before and even recently, but I felt compelled to come back here with some significant details of this story that really relate to today's theme. So soon after I started following Jesus, I sensed the voice of Jesus leading me to do some different things. Some of them were easy. Some of them were hard. Right? Shepherds, they lead. They move. They're on the move. And sometimes those are easy, like our Psalm 23 passage. Green pastures, it's pleasant, it's easy, it's nice. And then there's the ruts of righteousness. That's actually the more literal translation of Psalm 23. It's not these like nice, windy paths. It's the ruts that wheels make when it's raining, and then it's hard and it's crusty and it hurts sometimes. You got to go in those ruts of righteousness. And then sometimes he leads you into and eventually through dark valleys. Well, I sense Jesus leading me to give back, to pay back everything I had ever taken from somebody up to that point, which was a lot of things. I made a list, and it was more than one page. And so it was costly, and it gave me some questions. And so I asked some people about this. But first, it came out of my reading of the scriptures. So I read the Old Testament, and I read about the law of Moses and where restitution was required of the people of God when they had taken something from someone. They were required to give it back. And then I read the New Testament. This wasn't just an old thing. This was a New Testament thing. You read the story of Zacchaeus and how when salvation came to his house, he decided to pay back everyone that he had taken from fourfold. So through these words of Scripture, through these many rushing mighty waters of the Scriptures, I heard the voice of Jesus calling me. That's what I sensed, to make restitution with people as best as I could. Not just even with taking things, but just where I had wronged people. So I went to certain people to tell them about it, just to check it out with the people of God. And so certain people I went to, I would say to him, I'm about to do this, and they would say, what? You don't need to do that. You're forgiven. All right? It's all about grace. You've already been saved. Plus, you could get into a lot of trouble if you start telling people what you did to them. Well, you know what? I didn't recognize the voice of Jesus in those responses. Because I didn't recognize that kind of reasoning, that kind of spirit in the scriptures. In fact, when salvation came to Zacchaeus, that's when he decided to do this thing. He didn't do it to get salvation. It was because he was saved. So this is the kind of thing I should do. So I still wanted some guidance, though, because I wasn't getting any encouragement here. So I went to a local pastor who was well-known and respected and wise. He bore the likeness of Jesus, and he was able to listen to the voice of Jesus really well. He was known for this. So I went to him and told him what I was sensing, what I was thinking of doing. And he said, you know what, Dave? This sounds like Jesus. This is in line with the scriptures, and this looks like the leading of Jesus. And then he said, and you know what else, Dave? The more you hear the voice of Jesus, and the more you follow it, the clearer it's going to become and louder. But when you hear the voice of Jesus and you don't follow that voice, the quieter and quieter it will become. And I've never forgotten that. And I have found that to be absolutely true in my life, in the life of other people. I believe I heard the voice of Jesus in that pastor that day. I believe his voice was part of the mighty rushing waters of the voice of Jesus. I don't think it carries the same weight as Scripture, but I think it's part of that mighty roar we hear sometimes, if we have ears to hear. And I think that can happen for any of us, more and more, the more we ask Holy Spirit for us and for each other, give us ears to hear your voice in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, with the help of the people of God, as we follow you. Because as that pastor said, it's true of how shepherds and sheep work. Shepherds, if you know what shepherds do, they don't stay in one place. They're like, let's just hang out here from now on. No, they're on the move. They go. They're always finding new pastures. They need to. Now, with Jesus, that might not necessarily mean geographically. The Good Shepherd might be calling you to stay in Boston, for example, longer than you anticipated, as he shares with you his love for this city. More often than not, our Good Shepherd, he's not leading us to another place geographically, but he's leading us relationally, closer and closer to the Father, closer and closer to each other, and especially to the least and the last and the lost sheep. the sheep hear and follow again the voice of the good shepherd who's moving, who's on the move, you follow that voice, it's going to get clear, it's going to stay loud and clear. But if you stay put for some reason, maybe you're lazy, maybe it's something else, that voice is going to move on and it's going to get quieter and quieter until you forget now what it's like to hear the voice, the good shepherd. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's been a while. You can't even remember what that's like anymore. Well, the good news is thankfully our shepherd is the good shepherd. And when his sheep cry out, he comes right there. So you can start following him again. So you can start to get to know his voice again in the scriptures and in prayer. In gatherings like this. In our neighborhood groups and triads and spiritual direction. All kinds of ways we get to learn how to hear his voice and follow his voice. But yeah, to do that, we need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the people of God to do that. So don't ever try to discern the voice of God by yourself. Because then discernment easily can turn into deception, I think. And we just follow our own desires and imaginations and blame a lot on God. Say, he's been leading me to do this. And we're saying all kinds of silly things about God's leading. We need the people of God to help us in that discernment. We need people like that pastor I went to, who's rooted in the Word of God and filled with the Spirit. It marks those people. Those are the kind of friends we need in our lives to help us discern. So we need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the people of God. And we need to follow. We need to follow wherever that voice goes. In life, and in death, and in resurrection. And when we do, we find out he has already gone there before us. I think that phrase in John, he has already gone out ahead of them. That's a loaded phrase. You read that in the whole context of the story of Scripture. The shepherd goes out ahead of the sheep in life, in death, and in resurrection, we know. And we find out whatever pasture he leads us to, he's already gone there before us. He's already been preparing a place for us. And in this age and in the age to come. Whatever dark valley he leads us to and through, he's already been there and done something unimaginable. He's already gone to the very bottom, to the deepest darkness, to the realm of the dead. And he's already emerged from there victorious, immortal, resurrected. And he's now ascended to the right hand of God so that he would fill all things and all places with his resurrected presence and voice. He says, I lay my life down for the sheep and I take it back up again. That's shorthand for his death and resurrection, for his cross and empty tomb. And we're living on the other side of that. So that now when we hear his voice, we are hearing a resurrected voice. It would seem that's something even new for Jesus. On Good Friday, he breathes his last, and his voice box stopped working. Have you ever thought about that? The voice of the Good Shepherd was no more. Just dead silence. But on Easter morning, by the Father's command, in the power of the Spirit, Jesus took up his life again in a resurrected body and a resurrected voice box. So that now when we hear his voice in the Word of God and by the Spirit and with the people of God, we're hearing a resurrected voice. We're hearing the voice of someone who has the keys of death and Hades in his hands. That's a different kind of authority roar. That's a resurrection roar and authority we're hearing. The one who's gone ahead of us, he's gone into the shadow of death. And whatever death and evil and darkness was there, he overcame and came out the other side. And when he speaks to us with that victory, that authority in his voice, if we're listening. So that when we hear and enter, when we enter that dark valley, whether it's metaphorically in hard times, dark times in our own life, or in that literal death that's approaching us, we're about to enter. We don't need to fear any evil because he is with us. We are with him, and he's come back from the dead. He's overcome everything that's there. And he's speaking to us with a resurrected voice, a voice that can call the dead out of their tombs, any tomb that they're in. He can call them out with the power of his voice. And this isn't the voice like the voice of Dune, if you know the movies or the books. That's a voice that controls and manipulates. A voice, if we're honest, we want. Sometimes we want to control people. Like the voice of Dune. But you know what? That's witchcraft. The voice of Jesus is the exact opposite. The voice of Jesus releases people, frees people to be who they're created and redeemed to be, releases them out of their tombs and from every kind of fear, especially the fear of death. So that's why for the early Christians, it meant dictators and tyrants couldn't control them with the fear of death, with death threats, because they were free people. Because the voice of the Good Shepherd had freed them from that fear, freed them to go to those people who were sick with deadly and contagious diseases that no one else would go to, but the Christians would go to. Because they weren't afraid of dying. A voice that frees us from political fear-mongering, which is going to get amped up this year. Frees us from obsessing about health and safety. I think we need to care about health and safety, yes, but we can be obsessed about it. And the voice of Jesus wants to free us from that. Because one day we're going to rise from the dead. Death is not the end. It's not the worst thing that could happen anymore. A voice that releases us and inspires us with hope and joy and love in the darkest of times and places. Because it's the voice of the resurrected, good, noble, beautiful shepherd who's gone out before us. The more we hear that voice and follow it, the more that fearful distraction culture we talked about a few weeks ago on Easter morning is going to be replaced with resurrection culture. Amen. The more that resurrection fish is going to just swallow up every other fish. Well, the Spirit has been opening my ears to this resurrection roar these days in Eastertide, and my prayer is for all of us to hear that resurrection roar as we follow him in life and in death, and especially resurrection. May it be so. Amen. Amen.